From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Two more women have come forward to accuse Roy Moore, the U.S. Senate candidate in Alabama, of pursuing them as teenagers when he was in his 30s. The count of women who say Moore was inappropriate with them is growing, jeopardizing that Senate seat for Republicans. The most serious accusations facing Moore were made by one woman who says she was only 14 when Moore molested her, and another who was 16 when she says he assaulted her in a car. The number of prominent Republicans who are calling on Moore to step down from the race has also increased, and include Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, House Speaker Paul Ryan, and even Attorney General Jeff Sessions, whose vacated Senate seat Moore is hoping to win in the December special election. If Moore is elected to the Senate, he will likely face an ethics probe to remove him right away. But Moore and state-level Alabama Republicans are standing firm behind him. My guest is Miranda Blue. She's a research editor at People for the American Way. She's worked on PFAW's Right Wing Watch project, reporting on the leaders and organizations driving right-wing movements. Her work has included investigations into the anti-abortion, personhood, and, quote, rescue movements, uncovering the work of American anti-LGBT activists around the world, and also exposing the work of extremist anti-immigrant groups. Welcome to the program, Miranda.
Thanks so much for having me.
So there is a lot more to discuss around Roy Moore in addition to these accusations by women against him. Let's start with the accusations first. How serious are these? Some are saying that these are all politically motivated, that he was in his 30s and the women he pursued were maybe in their teens, but they were 18, and it's all being politicized. But the women who say that they were in their 14 and 16 when he actually assaulted them, what they're describing is serious sexual abuse of children.
Yes, very much. The accusations are very serious, and the willingness of a lot of Moore's supporters to kind of wave them off as political attacks or not a big deal, even if they did happen, has been really alarming and really disturbing. It's been good to see some Republicans distancing themselves from Roy Moore and saying that this is unacceptable. But what we've been saying is that Roy Moore has been an unacceptable candidate all along, and that's not to diminish the terribleness of these accusations and the seriousness of these accusations. But as we were writing in a new report that we're releasing this afternoon, Roy Moore has a long history of extremism, of ignoring the rule of law, and of being really hostile to a lot of American values, including religious liberty and equality under the law. So he's a problematic person to begin with, and these accusations are just over the top.
Right. So what he did as a judge in Alabama should have immediately disqualified him from that Senate seat. These sexual assault accusations should have left absolutely no doubt, yet here he is continuing to stand firm and insisting he run for the Senate seat. Let's talk about what he did as judge. You mentioned the issue of religious liberty. Euphemistically putting it, blurred the line between church and state. How did he do that? What did he turn? What sort of a circus did he turn the Alabama courthouses into?
Right. I think a circus is a good word. And you see reports of people in Alabama who are maybe not as who might agree with some of Judge Moore's views, but don't like the way he's used it for this kind of circus-like atmosphere, as you've said. So, in his professional capacity, Moore has been removed from the Alabama Supreme Court twice for defying federal court orders. The first time in 2003, he had put up this statue of the Ten Commandments in the state courthouse and refused to follow a court order to take it down. And then he was out of the court for a while, was reelected, and was effectively removed again. He was suspended after he repeatedly tried to defy federal court rulings on marriage equality. So trying to stop probate judges in Alabama from issuing marriage licenses to gay couples and basically saying again that the law of his interpretation of the Bible trumps our civil law. And then in his personal capacity as an activist in between these court stints, and also while he's on the court, he's made some really troubling statements. For instance, he said that Keith Ellison, who's a Muslim, shouldn't be seated in Congress because he's a Muslim. He objected to a Hindu prayer being said in the Senate because he thought only Christian prayers should be said in the Senate. He's said that homosexuality should be illegal, that gay people should be met with criminal penalties. He supports so-called personhood laws that ban all abortion and that could even ban some types of birth control. So he's just an extremist across the board who's really shown no respect for other people in America, for religious minorities, for gays and lesbians, for women, and seems to believe that his own interpretation of the Bible should trump all laws and the Constitution.
And so all of these things are what made him a hero to evangelical Christians, the extreme Christian right wing in Alabama and around the country. And now, with these accusations of the vile sexual assaults, the pursuing of young girls when he was in his 30s, this is exactly the kind of issue that they often cite immorality against. For example, whenever you've had anybody who's been a liberal accused of similar things, they have jumped on it and cited Christian values and morality as a reason why someone like a Bill Clinton ought to step down. But in the case of Roy Moore, they seem to have a double standard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sonali, I think if anyone thought that the religious right would turn against Roy Moore, they weren't paying attention to the 2016 election. I think the widespread religious right support for Donald Trump showed that this talk of personal morality has been a lot of show. And actually, there was a really interesting poll showing that in the 2016 election, opinion of white evangelical voters about whether a politician's personal morality mattered to whether they should be elected changed dramatically because of Donald Trump.
Wow.
And I think we're seeing the same reaction to the Roy Moore story, that Roy Moore has promised to give them the policy outcomes that they want, and he's a firebrand spokesperson for a lot of their values, and they're not going to let accusations of sexually molesting teenagers get in the way.
Right. So it doesn't matter if he's personally a sexual predator, as long as he pushes the anti-abortion, anti-LGBT line in his position as a senator. Prominent Republicans in Washington have now called, it's embarrassing enough that they have called on Roy Moore to step down. So I mentioned Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, Jeff Sessions, and others calling on Moore to step down. Interestingly, they too show a hypocrisy on Trump. It's interesting that they are calling on Roy Moore to step down, but still continue to stand behind the predator in chief, Trump. And actually, Miranda, Brave New Films just created this fantastic video compiling together the 16 women that have come forward, even, you know, especially during the presidential campaign, accusing Trump himself of groping them, of assaulting them. For our TV audience, we're watching the video right now, and we'll tell you how you can find that short film online. But Miranda, how important is it to remind ourselves that whenever we hear people talking about Roy Moore, especially Republicans, that Trump's name should also be close to our lips?
Right. I mean, I think that there was, you know, a similar willingness to support Trump out of convenience. And I mean, it's a similar story for people like Mitch McConnell and some of the more establishment Republicans who were trying not to get Trump be their nominee. But once he was their nominee, got on the Trump train for the sake of convenience. And a similar story played out with Moore. Of course, now some of these establishment Republicans are walking away and trying to find any way to get a Republican who's not more in that Senate seat. But I think it's very important not to forget that this was a big issue with Trump, and that these he laughed off his accusers, and so did a lot of his supporters. And he's president now, so.
And lest we appear hypocritical, let's also talk about Al Franken.
Let's talk about
not just
Lincoln.
liberal, but progressive Democratic senator of Minnesota, who's now facing accusations on his own. Let us not absolutely forget about Bill Clinton. Kate Flanagan did a fantastic report on how feminists saved Bill Clinton, and that it's time for a reckoning for him. And now there's news coming out about about the atmosphere in Washington in general that female lawmakers face on a day-to-day basis. And I guess we can thank Harvey Weinstein for helping all of these issues come tumbling out, not just in Hollywood, but in Washington, D.C. as well.
Well, we can thank the people who were brave enough to
thank
publicly
you.
Bring
not
forward
the,
their
not
stories
Weinstein,
about Harvey Weinstein.
But Weinstein's accusers, yes.
But yeah, you're right. This is a really important moment which broke, as you said, with the Harvey Weinstein story, where women and men also are feeling comfortable bringing forward accounts that they've of things that happened to them that they've been keeping hidden for a long time, because there is now a sense that they'll be taken seriously, and that there might be some accountability for these men who have done these things, who have allegedly done these things, believing that they won't be held accountable because of their position of power. And I think that with the Harvey Weinstein story and with the Al Franken story that's coming out today, you see this crosses ideological lines. It isn't about one party or another party. It's about people who feel immune because of their fame or position of power. And it's a really powerful time that people who have been through this are being taken seriously, and that that people in these positions now know that it's not okay to do that. It's not okay to treat people like that just because you think you can get away with it.
And it's just this amazing. I think you're right. The moment that we're in is amazing, because what's coming out are things that have happened over decades. In many cases, things that were raised when they were first uncovered, but not taken seriously then. And for some reason, the moment we're in now, women are being taken more seriously. So, Miranda, let's go back to the issue of the Roy Moore Senate seat, because there are politics there to be discussed. Yeah. Democrats are hoping that seat might become theirs, even in a state like Alabama. What are the chances of Al Moore's Democratic rival actually winning that seat, and what would it do to the makeup of the Senate?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I could tell whether Doug Jones would win the seat. I'd have a different job. Polls have been inconsistent about this, and I think that probably speaks to people in Alabama still figuring it out and making up their minds. I mean, this is a very important Senate seat, and you can see why a lot of Republicans are reluctant to give up Roy Moore because of that. I mean, we're talking about a very close Senate that's deciding on things like the future of healthcare.
Exactly.
For everyone. So, I mean, this is a big election.
And so you have this election where even a single seat can tip a balance within the Senate on very, very important issues. And of course, it is, as I understand, since the election, special election is in December, just weeks away, it's too late for the Republicans to put up another candidate. There's talk of a potential write-in candidate. I mean, could they pull that off?
I mean, I don't know. Lisa Murkowski did it in Alaska a number of years ago, but Alaska is a much smaller state, and she had a big base that she was already working with. So, I mean, that seems like a stretch to me, but who knows? I didn't think Donald Trump would be president either. So.
All right. It's become a little scarier for analysts to predict things since 2016.
Right.
But they are apparently trying to search for this. Are polls pretty close in Alabama between Doug Jones and Roy Moore? And as far as you can tell, have the controversies around Roy Moore impacted the polls in Alabama at all? I mean, not everybody in Alabama is a extremist right-wing conservative Christian evangelical.
Right. I haven't looked too closely at the polls today, but I have seen polls kind of showing it go either way. including polls showing that a lot of Roy Moore's base in Alabama is sticking with their guns. I think a big issue will be turnout on Election Day. If people who ordinarily would vote for Moore just kind of get turned off and don't show up at all, as well as whether Moore's opponents get energized and turn out in greater numbers. And it's a special election, so it's kind of a weird turnout situation anyway.
Well, I'm just looking at a new poll that came out done by the National Republican Senatorial Committee. Mm-hmm. And in this poll, Doug Jones is leading Roy Moore 51-39% by a 12-point lead. And so it's a pretty dramatic turn. That's just one poll. And as you said, after the 2016 election, it's really hard to predict anything.
Right. And from what I've seen, that one is an outlier, but it is a pretty stark stark piece of data to have in any case.
So finally, Miranda, what do you hope, just going back to this issue that women are more emboldened these days, it seems, to speak out about the traumas, about the terrible assaults that they have faced from male politicians, whether they're liberal or conservative? And do you feel that that greater emboldening will lead to a change in the culture in Washington, D.C.? Because we have a woman problem in Washington, D.C. There are far few women lawmakers, and we can see why. You know, pervasive sexism and misogyny, of course, keeps women out of there. But also, when you constantly have to be pushing aside unwanted overtures from men in your workplace, it becomes a very difficult place for women to work.
Right. And I mean, I think it's not just a problem in Washington. And I really hope that this does make a difference and that, you know, people see that men see that, you know, this isn't, they can't get away with this stuff, and they have to treat women in the workplace with respect.
I've worked with many men who
already know that in their hearts. And so I hope that this at least resonates with people now, so that going forward, there is a sense that there will be accountability.
Right. I mean, and a lot of people are complaining about how men's careers are being derailed and destroyed over these things. What about the countless untold number of women whose careers never got to take off because of the assaults they faced by men? We'll never know the true extent of that.
Yeah. Right. No, I think that's a very good point.
Give out a website, Miranda. You mentioned that there's going to be a new report out by People for the American Way. Where can people find out more about the work that you and your organization do?
Sure. So our website for People for the American Way is pfaw.org. And then I write for the website Right Wing Watch, rightwingwatch.org. And that's where we'll have our new report on Roy Moore coming out. It might already be up on the website, but coming out very soon.
We'll post links already. We'll post links to both of those from our website later today. Miranda, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Miranda Blue. She is the research director with People for the American Way. And we've been talking about what's at stake with the Roy Moore scandal. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can also find out more about us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.